up, Moncton? Welcome to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast podcast. Not so much live from the studio this time. We are again in the kitchen making things work for you guys. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. If you're a long-time listener, hello. As you know, I am Adam, your host, and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Mr. Jeremy Boucher.
I have a riddle for you.
Ooh, good.
Perfect.
What word starts with E, ends with E, and only has one letter in it?
It's the just going to words that started and end with E, and the only thing I could think of was envelope.
Envelope is the correct answer.
Oh, no way.
Are you serious? One letter. It's got one letter in it.
I was literally going I-E-Y-E. Because
an envelope has a letter in it.
Oh. Wow. I got the right answer. Don't know how I got the right answer.
That was well done. That voice of the guy who guessed it correctly is my other co-host, Mr. Chris Dobson.
Fun fact, on this day in 1974, Major League Baseball Commissioner Bowie Kuhn suspends New York Yankees owner George Steinbrenner for 2 years in his convictions of making illegal contributions to re-elect Nixon.
Wow, political and sports related.
I'd like to switch it away from hockey a little bit. Let's go to the diamond.
I like it. All right, so my quick question we did last week, I got another quick question for you guys. So I was looking on, I think it was Instagram, saw the Battle of the River between the 67s and the Olympique, found out the actual points count. It's not just exhibition, which, whatever, it is what it is.
But it's, halfway through the season, you can't have an exhibition game.
No, but you can't have points count and playoff spots count with a different league, though.
Sure you can. It's called Interleague, just like Major League Baseball.
Huzzah!
All right, so speaking of that, which OHL team would you want to see Moncton host in a two-game weekend set? And you can pick outdoor game if you want.
Well, we know how much Jeremy likes the outdoor game.
Yeah.
No! I'm going to let you take this one first, Jeremy. Go ahead.
Which OHL team would I like to see the Wildcats play in a two-game series? I am going to go with the Barrie Colts.
Ooh.
Now, the reason I say that is because that's where me mommy and me daddy did the ting to make the big boy right here. So, yes, I have a special connection with the city of Barrie.
That's amazing.
I also have a lot of family that comes from there. So
that's amazing.
I would love to see the Barrie Colts take on the Moncton Wildcats someday. Probably only going to see it in the Memorial Cup some year, but still love to see it.
Well, seeing how we're talking about this year, I don't have a history lesson, but I'm going with the 67s. The top team in the league. They're going to meet in the Mem Cup final. That's right. I said it. And then they're going to no, I'm just kidding. I would like to see Ottawa. Anytime the best team in your league comes through, if you're picking that, that's what I want to see. I mean, to be the best, you got to beat the best, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, if you look at their last few games, they're 18-0-3-1. That's their streak in the last 22 games. It's pretty impressive. Last 10, they're 7-0-2.
Sorry, what's their record? 18?
Their streak right now is 18-0-3-1.
Wow.
They have no regulation losses in their last 22 games.
Jeez. Good luck, Gatineau.
But anyways, yeah, I'm going with Ottawa.
I'd pick the London Knights.
You
always hear everything about how good they are, that factory in London. I'd pick them. All right, so we're not going to host those. So
who won 10 in a row, by the way? The London Knights.
Yeah,
they're 10-0-0-0-0-0-0-0.
So, I mean, you're looking at the last two teams that we picked. Those would be two of the hottest teams in their leagues, respectively.
Wholeheartedly.
So that would be a fun two-game set. But let's get to what wasn't a fun two-game set over the weekend. The Cats, the record right now, 19-6-2 for 40 points. Still first in the Maritimes, second in the Eastern Conference, and tied for second overall in the queue. 9-2 loss on Friday to Sherbrooke. 7-1 loss to Drummondville. I don't even know where to go. You want to go each individual game, or do you want to go at all?
No. Let's just talk about the two of them together, because they're both going to fit the same profile.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I will say is this. The game that really, and I will eat this. Last week, I said, oh, no, don't worry about Sherbrooke. Don't even worry about Sherbrooke. And for the record, we took a ton of heat for that.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to address that right now.
We can all address it.
Yeah, that's fine. Anybody questioning why we've been pumping the Wildcats tires as long as we have, I have two things to say about that. Number one, we are a Wildcats podcast. We'll start there. Number two, going into the weekend, they were tied for first overall in the QMJHL. Why the hell would I not think for 2 seconds that they were going to roll Sherbrooke? Now,
to steal a line from you, 100%.
Now, Drummondville scared me. I knew that coming into it. They're a good hockey team. They're only going to get better now that Comtois is back. After Drummondville beat Moncton on Saturday, they went into Halifax and beat Halifax on Sunday.
By almost the same score, 5-2?
I think it was 6-3 or 6-2.
Something like that.
Yeah, 6-3 is what I thought.
Yep. So
this team is for real, and now that Comtois is coming back, Valeno is an animal. He looked so good. Rodrigue was unbelievable. Moncton, for some reason, not the swagger we've been used to seeing them play with all season long. I don't know if they had heavy legs. I don't know what was going on. I don't know if everyone had hometown hockey brain. I don't know what the situation was. You know, and again, just to kind of break it down a little bit, we'll start with Sherbrooke. Games like that happen. You know, it's, and I saw a great article in the Times and Transcript written by our good buddy Neil Hodge. And what he said was, you know, and he quoted Darren Rumble, I believe, and I don't want to misquote this, or I'll say something similar to this quote. Games like Friday night happen, okay? It, you know, you move on, you forget about it. You're not going to win every game. Sometimes people have mental lapses. The effort that came back out, the lackluster effort that came back out against Drummondville, regardless of how Drummondville was, again, not the best Wildcat effort we've seen all year. Like, they just, nothing was clicking. Nobody was on. It was sloppy.
There's no speed through the neutral zone. There's too many turnovers. Now, the Drummondville game, they had the power play early, and if they score on that, it could have been different. Could have been a different mindset. But it was just, like, I don't know, did they start reading their own press? Did they get into their own head a little bit? Like,
reading the newspaper,
whatever, yeah.
Standings.
Anything's possible. I mean, look.
Like, it looked like the Cape Breton game.
Right.
The one on October 2nd that they lost 5-2, I think. It looked like that team. It was not the team. And it was not anyone specifically.
No,
it
was a
whole
it was a team
hearted effort of suck, really.
There was a lot of frustration. You could see it on the ice all weekend long. You know, looking at the power play numbers, Sherbrooke went 1-for-3 Friday. Moncton went 0-for-3 Friday. And then if you look at the Drummondville game, power play numbers say it all again. Moncton went 1-for-5. Drummondville went 2-for-6.
And two shorthandeds.
And they had two. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, anytime you've got someone like Joe Valeno who can come on in and do what he does. I mean, that game alone, Valeno had 6 points, 3 goals and 3 assists.
Yeah.
There's a reason. And again, I chirped on Joe for a long time. And I mean, he's a great talent. Did I think that he deserved exceptional status in the queue years ago when he came on in? No, I don't. And I could be alone here, and I don't want to harp on him because he's very talented. But to look at the players who have come through this league and tell me that Joe Valeno is the first kid to be granted exceptional status is a bit of a stretch. But he's developed into an unreal hockey player, and he's just going to keep this thing up, and he's going to keep tearing it up, and now he's got Comtois to come with him. Watch out right now. They're going to be unbelievable.
Arguably in a weaker Eastern Conference. When you look at the teams in the conference, there's five in the West, and there's Drummondville and Rouyn-Noranda.
But overall, the weekend was terrible. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was garbage.
No.
I feel bad for the guys that had to go through it. But at the same time, it could be a good eye-opener for them too, right? I mean, this road trip coming up is going to be another tough one for them, another good one.
It's actually better that they get to go and get away from
wholeheartedly. Maybe get away from this. The Avenir Center for a bit.
It's like you said with the people that got on us. It feels like people are waiting for them to fall. Like, yeah, they're good, but they're going to lose. I'm just waiting for – see, they lost. I told you. Like, it's like, well, what do you want from them? They're not going to win every game.
Right. Well, Jeremy, this comes back to the conversation that we were having last week, and that was, you know, when do teams step up and say, like, you know, when you – and Adam, you mentioned it. We said, when is it a test for them against the Moncton Wildcats? Well, the truth be told is, you know, maybe that was a good reality check. Again, you can't win them all, but at the same time, you can't afford to lose. I can't remember the last time the Moncton Wildcats got pummeled like this back-to-back nights. I mean, we'd have to go back a couple years. But to get it – no, but not very long. But, yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there was that rebuild year, which was an absolute dumpster fire. But look at where we are today because of that.
I agree. I had a chance to look over some stats, I guess you could say, about the weekend's games. And I found one positive from Friday night. Jordan Spence was a +1 in a 9-2 loss. The only player in the Wildcats to be a plus.
Anybody a plus in Drummondville?
In Drummondville or
no,
against?
On the Drummondville game.
Oh, no. Kyle Foreman, Jack Tucker, and Elliot Desnoyers all finished at 0.
Yep.
So there's your silver linings.
Also, that fire juggler on Saturday was awesome.
That was pretty good. It was one of those things where you're looking at the score at 3-0. You're like, well, anything can happen. And it was just not. It was just not going to happen for, especially against a team like Drummondville. Rodrigue is as good as advertised.
Look, go back to the Sherbrooke game just for a sec. I still felt like Moncton could have won that game and it was 5-2. I had it in my head. 6-2, I'm like, oh, no, they've got the offense. They can do this. When they scored that goal with 0.2 seconds left in the second period.
Which no one knew.
We knew.
I didn't know.
Well, okay.
It didn't seem like that puck went in the net in time.
I agree.
Like, do we even know what was left on the clock when that went in? Because it's obviously
apparently point two seconds.
Point two.
Now, where I have a hard time believing this, and again, this is a rant for another day, but I'm just going to make it out there quickly. I've been doing media work with the league for years. I've seen their replays. I've seen what they look at for goal confirmation. And to sit here and tell me that you could distinguish that puck crossed that goal line with 0.2 seconds on the clock, not saying it didn't happen, not saying it did happen, I think it's a bit of a stretch. But hey, doesn't matter. It went in, game ended, doesn't matter.
It right? just, honest to God.
It knocked the wind out of the sails.
It did. And it, honest to God, looked as if the buzzer went, and then 2 seconds later, the puck was going in the net. So was the clock off at the Avenir Center compared? Like, I don't know what it was, but it literally just didn't seem like it was. And everybody has said that.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, they've shown how many times they can score 5 goals in a period. There was no way that we thought, especially against Sherbrooke. Drummondville, that one was, I think, once they got behind 2-0, they just kind of, that was it, and they weren't. So the $1 million question, or the $100,000 question, whatever you want to say.
I'll take $1 million.
All right, the $1 million question. The trade deadline coming up. Does a panic button get pushed?
I don't think there is a panic button. We're still sitting pretty. Like, it's,
I know, but you know what I mean? Like,
this is not the year to win.
So I'm going to put it out there because I know everybody's seen it. We've talked about it. And it's been a constant on Twitter. Craig Eagles keeps putting it out there that Moncton is still in on the Noah Dobson sweepstakes. We've talked about this over and over and over. Do we need Noah?
Technically,
who,
yes.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Who doesn't? Are you willing to pay the price that's going to come? The price tag that comes with Noah Dobson is not going to be cheap. Again, I can't even fathom in my head what that trade would look like, but the future of this hockey team is out the window if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
It's already being reported that he's being traded to Chicoutimi for 3 first-round picks and a second.
And a second. So that's where you're at.
That's the bar, right?
Chicoutimi's not taking this to not benefit. You don't give away 3 firsts and a second and then take a mediocre deal in return. Like, you're looking to build quickly. You're looking to build now. I don't know. It'll be curious. Like, you're going to take that and try to build for next year.
If there's any moves to be made, like, I'm not going to mention names or anything, but I wouldn't mind seeing a depth acquisition on defense. I think we need somebody that's going to fill into the 4, 5, or 6 role that's just going to help the D, help prevent the goals against. I mean, not to say help prevent the goals against.
I'd like to see a guy, like, and again, this is all pure speculation, but like, you think about good defensemen, like good quality defensemen in the league. You know, I'm trying to think. There's only a couple guys that come to mind, you know, that you could probably get at a decent price tag.
But they have to be 18, do they not? Because if they're 19 this year, they're going to be 20, and that takes away from. So you're looking at an 18-year-old good defenseman.
Unless you're going to try to upgrade your overagers for next year.
Like,
right?
Gabe Sylvester got traded to Moncton at Christmas last year.
Right.
When he was 19, he's now playing here as a 20-year-old.
Correct.
So,
but we get 3 20-year-olds if the 20-year-old's a goaltender next year, correct? That rule.
I believe that's
so
next year.
We get 3 20-year-old
forwards. You're allowed to have 4 20s on the roster if one of those is a goaltender.
So that, I mean, you could have an extra 20-year-old if you go out and acquire a 20-year-old goaltender, which
again, if
who knows,
you decide that next year's the year you want to go for it, that's exactly what you'd want.
So in a standard rebuild, are we a 2-year window from loading up and going for the whole thing?
Had you asked me that before the season started, I would have said yes. I don't think that anymore. We are small tweaks away from being a championship team.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you gotta. When I say tweaks, I mean very minor, because
you
cannot
don't say,
mess.
So 53 isn't part of the tweaks. It's somebody that we're not.
Look.
I mean, he obviously makes any team better being a minute login defenseman.
Noah Dobson is a future star of the National Hockey
Absolutely.
League on the blue line. No way fans are butts yep. about it. Would Noah Dobson look great in a Moncton Wildcats uniform? Yes. Would Moncton, or should Moncton, in my opinion, again, not that that matters for much, why would you do that? Like, why? Like, who would you have to move to make Noah Dobson? Like, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. The next year's
You'd
completely
have to move a few
window.
Players if you don't have picks.
You're
correct?
Not getting Noah Dobson without trading Bathurst's first-round pick.
Without a question, which to me should be completely off the table. If Noah Dobson was the final piece that guarantees Moncton a Memorial Cup, I'm fine with that move. I have no problem with it. If you have to get that pick away, but you know for a fact you're that much better than everybody else, then of course, you got to spend money to make money.
Yeah, yeah.
If Moncton would have won the Memorial Cup, I would have no problem trading for Noah Dobson.
Absolutely.
I would also have no problem trading for P.O. Joseph. I don't care if we're selling the farm for the next 5 years.
If we win this year.
If we are hosting the Memorial Cup, I would have no problem.
Right. That's why I wonder if they're going to...
making these deals.
They're in on 53 because they want to go... Because they lost that.
You have to be in on 53.
Yeah.
If you're not looking at Noah Dobson, if you think you can win and you're not at least not kicking tires on it, then you're not even... Yeah, you shouldn't be in the window. You shouldn't be having the conversation.
But that's what I mean. Does the window get accelerated because they want to go into Halifax because they lost the bid, which is very difficult to do with the new playoff system because we're going to have to go through some...
Moncton got the raw end of the deal with the way that
we got to go through Big Como, Halifax, Charlottetown, Rimouski, like all the teams that are potentially loading up for the run in Halifax. We have to go through them to get there.
And then you got Drummondville on the other side who's just going to be like, thank you. Come again.
Drummondville and Rouyn-Noranda. But that's what I mean. Are they?
I will say it right now. I think once Comtois comes back, and watching how Drummondville played this weekend, I think Drummondville will easily handle Rouyn-Noranda. I don't even think it'll be tight. I really do.
Unless
Rouyn-Noranda somehow ends up with Noah Dobson and Mario Pouliot and Noah Dobson end up connected again. I mean, that's, again, anywhere you go with Noah Dobson, he instantly makes your team better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to look at that standpoint. Now, where does Moncton sit currently in the league? Second, right?
Tied for second, dude.
They're still a good hockey club.
Oh, yeah.
So anybody out there who's, okay, and you'll love this, Adam. I was thinking of this all day to bring this up today.
Nice.
Do you know why people hate the Moncton Wildcats?
No.
For the same reason people hate Nickelback. Because it's cool to hate Nickelback. It's cool to hate the Wildcats. It's foolish. You know, like people hold these grudges against this junior hockey team because they think they know better and they think they're spoiled and they think they're this. You know, like it's anytime you talk to anybody in the league, you're like, oh, you talk to fans around the league. Moncton's just stupid. Why? Yeah. You can't, nobody can tell you why.
No. And our friends,
just like Nickelback, they can't tell you why they don't like them.
No,
everybody says, "Ah, Nickelback sucks." Tell me why.
Well, because they play on the radio all the time.
Because they make millions of dollars.
Yeah, and all the songs sound the same, so they figured it out and they make more money than you.
Look, I'm not a Nickelback fan by any means. I don't hate on them. I enjoy their live shows. I'll stomp my feet when I'm having a good time. But at the same time, whatever, man, to each their own. Anyways, this isn't a Nickelback podcast. Let's move on.
Can be. I'm from their hometown. Anyways,
never again.
When you.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh.
The other thing with the no panic button is we might not lose anybody to the juniors, right? Drummondville's going to lose at least three.
I'd suggest we're going to lose Alexander Hovanov.
So one. Yeah, but Drummondville's going to lose at least
three. For you to say we're not losing anybody, and I just pinpointed a pretty serious guy we're going to lose.
Yeah. But we're going to be able to catch up on some of these teams, and, you know, it's, I don't know. I don't.
The bottom line is, no, I do not think we should acquire Noah Dobson unless the deal's right.
I agree. I think year's our year and the following year. We've got the players now and the players in the system to have a competitive team next year, the following year, and the following year after that.
There is not one player on this roster that I don't love. Not one.
Nope.
Every one of them is they're fun to watch. They're a good group of kids. You know, everything they're doing is they're doing it for each other.
Yep. They even take losses together. All three, everyone just stops playing at the same time.
Thought we had moved on from that.
We are.
Why do you have to kick them when they're down, bud?
Now we're going to coach the team. How do we fix this for 3-3 nights in Schwinnigan Thursday, Friday in Sherbrooke, Saturday in Blainville?
Hold on. Let me call Darren Rumble, and you can tell him yourself.
It's just to go back to basics. There's nothing really.
That's all you got to do. Shake it off. Forget the losses.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the past. It doesn't matter.
It's, again, we're not going to sit here and somewhat guarantee wins like we did last week. Wow.
We might have guaranteed them last year. They just weren't on they just weren't on a show. Anyways,
but this is nothing against Schwinnigan, but I'm somewhat happy that the road trip starts there.
Right. That's the get right game.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. If I'm not mistaken, though, Schwinnigan's better this year than they were last year, in my opinion. And I think we went into Schwinnigan and actually ended up winning in overtime. So
I'd like to see a tight game in Schwinnigan. I don't want to see a blowout. I would like to see, a two-goal win, you know, whether that's a 2-0 win or a 3-1 win or a 4-2 win.
The empty net win.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Don't put all your offense in one basket. Use that as a stepping stone to move into the weekend. But either way, you're right, tomorrow's a get-right game.
That Friday night game in Sherbrooke, that is a revenge game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Revenge!
You're definitely going to see a different team. And I think Sherbrooke's, they came in here and gave us what we didn't expect. I think we're going to go in there and return the favor.
I agree with that. There's no way. There is 0% chance. And I'll say it. I'll pump the tires. There's 0% chance you see the Cats lay an egg the way they did last weekend. It's not possible. Rums won't allow it.
No.
They're better than that.
How close were you waiting for him to lose his... lose it on the bench like you wanted to. Like,
oh, when it got my to, goodness. I thought we got to that point.
And I will give the team props. When it got really bad, you didn't see guys... It could have got chippy. Yeah, you didn't see... Other than right at the end of the Drummondville game, you didn't see guys headhunting. You didn't see guys sticking, cross-checking in the back, dropping gloves with guys that didn't want it. You saw them keep the composure that you don't always see in those kind of games. So, but I'm like... I was watching him going, I wonder if he's going to... when he's going to get mad, but you just put your hands up because you don't really get
there
mad.
There was
right?
one penalty specifically, and again, I don't know what happened. I don't know what it was. In the second period, Havanov just lost his mind and jumped him.
He must have said I think
something got said.
Something, or he sticked him in the foot.
Right.
It got really
and
close
Alex
to each
had
other.
Enough. Like, yeah. Alex had enough. But other than that, you're right. Kudos to this team for keeping their cool throughout both of those blowout losses.
So coming off those three games, this has to be a 4-point out of 6-point road trip, right? To be a success?
Well, to be a success statistically,
you know,
sure.
Coming off those two losses, this has to be a successful road trip?
Just get better. That's all you can do. Rebound and forget right. about it. 4 points would be beautiful. You know, start with one win. Get right. one win, get back into the win column.
Get back to playing defensive hockey because you can't allow that many goals. And
two-way hockey, coach.
Ooh.
Ooh, nice.
One thing I noticed that was missing in the last couple of games, though, is that, you know, you look at a guy like Jordan Spence, and again, kudos to him for being that only plus, was that, you know, the last couple of games, he hasn't been shooting the puck like he had been before, right? Like, that's the one thing that the Cats have done so well.
On the power play?
Not even. Just five on five, even. Now, some of the shots are getting blocked, but he's got an unreal shot, and anytime he gets it through, he usually generates offense, whether it's a rebound, whether it's a bank off the board somewhere. Good things happen. I haven't seen that the last few games from Jordan. You know, he's extremely talented, so I'd like to see them get back to basics on that. You know, no shot's a bad shot.
Yeah.
Put it on net.
We're not goalie coaches. We're not. They're not hanging. They kind of hang out to dry. Who would you start in Shawinigan?
You got to go with LeClaire. If that's the rebound game that you want to win with, you need to give your starting goaltender some mental capacity to go back to it.
I agree. Yeah.
And then give him two in a row then, right? Because, I mean, Lavallee didn't even – he's could have something like two goals and
– Lavallee took one of the losses on the weekend. Which
two goals and
from
8 minutes. And...
from a statistic standpoint is just a nightmare. I feel bad for the kid. But, yeah, like right now, everybody needs to be in the right headspace. This is why a road trip's great because road trips bring these teams together. Yeah. You use this for camaraderie, team building, things like that. Yeah, you got to go with LeClaire to start. That's my opinion.
He's your number one. He was brought in as your number one goaltender. And like Chris said, you just get his focus back, go out there and...
Rebound control
pitch
was tough over
pitch
the
a
weekend.
Shutout.
That's the one thing I noticed too. Yeah, pitch a shutout. Yeah. There it is.
That'll work.
Even using the words before the game starts.
Whatever.
No. I don't believe in karma.
I thought maybe you go Lavallee to let him play against Sherbrooke.
You can't. Right? No. Right now, starting goaltender, that's what you need that mentally. Now, if for some reason he's not ready, then yeah, obviously you've got a great backup to go to. But yeah. I think, in my opinion, you start with LeClaire and let him go.
Cool. All right, so let's the NBL task, Mr. Dobson, your cat of the week.
Oof. I'm going to go off the board a little bit here.
The only guy that wasn't in the lineup?
Not even. I'm going to blanket this one. I'm going to give the entire organization, and I know it's a cop-out, but considering everything they've been through this weekend, you know, at no point, like you said, did anybody lose their cool. Mm-hmm. Nobody was headhunting, you know. Everybody knows they screwed. You know, everybody knows they lost. Let's just see him rebound. Forget about it. I will give an honorable mention, though, to Kyle Foreman, because I thought for sure this was the weekend it was happening. He played well, as well as the rest of the team played.
Yeah.
But I liked what I saw from Kyle. It is just a matter of time. Foreman, buddy, hang in there. You're going to score.
I know. Every time he gets close, I'm ready to explode.
Well, I keep going back to the episode you guys did.
What's
with,
it like
with
to
Seitz
score
and McKenna
a goal?
And when he asked that, and when Jeremy started to laugh, he just laughed. He's like,
"It's awesome, bud.
It's awesome, bud. You'll get there. Like, you'll score one." Anyways, yeah. So I'm gonna give the team a whole nod. Special nod goes to Kyle Foreman, considering everybody had the situation they had last weekend. It's for you, bud.
All right, Mr. Boucher. Everyone's waiting for the stick tap of the week.
Everyone's waiting for this one. This team deserves a lot of recognition. They're obviously getting the recognition, but Moncton won't play against them unless we're in that Memorial Cup. So I got to give my stick tap of the week to the Prince Albert Raiders. 24-1.
What?
24-1 with no overtime or shootout losses. So
That's crazy.
25 across the board, 24-1. 17 straight wins, outscoring their opponents 123-43. That's a plus 80 through 25 games. Do the math.
No.
That means they're averaging, they're winning their games on average by 3.2 goals per game. CHL record for most points in a season belongs to the 1978-79 Brandon Wheat Kings. Finished the season with a 58-5-9 record for 125 points.
Wheat Kings, great tune.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm thinking if Prince Albert can keep up with his pace, they might very well become the new record holders.
They're on the pace to better London's record when London had that 30-win streak, right? Do we know offhand?
Couldn't tell you.
All right.
I'm going to bring up a positive note right now.
Yes.
And that is because while this was going on, Adam was letting us know that the CHL top 10 standings come out. We know how much we love these. Where the positive note comes from here. So Moncton did slide down to 8, but you know who slid down to 9?
This is for you, Herdcast.
Halifax Moose. Yeah, again, the most pointless standings in sports. Either way, you know, Moncton's still in the top 10. So if they're that terrible, you can keep chirping all you want.
CHL top 10, garbage. Outdoor games, garbage. Moncton Winter Parking Ban, garbage.
Make parking great again.
Hashtag.
All right. Now we get to the point of the show where Chris gets to make fun of us, and he actually gets to pick a winner because this is the last time.
I didn't shave today, so you can't really see.
I know. So we're talking November here, right?
Yeah,
so we're talking
100%.
Okay. I didn't know what else I was judging. So
looks, I guess, if you want.
I'm going to give pure criteria on this. And so I've gone back and forth since we started shooting this thing today. I'm going to give Adam the win.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why.
Nobody saw that coming. No. Literally nobody.
Out of nowhere. two reasons. One, Jeremy has a beard.
I forgot to shave.
Jeremy almost got my sympathy vote just because...
I just don't like shaving.
Yeah.
No, I don't eat. You know what? Since I shaved the beard that I had for a little while for this month, I've been ID'd at the Avenir Center every single time I've gone for a beer.
Really?
So, every time. Before, nothing.
So you know what's happened since your mustache started to fill out? The Wildcats were outscored 15-3. Shave it.
I'm gonna.
Shave it. This is on you.
You know what? It is on me.
Well, then perfect. Shave it because they could use it.
Hey, can you get my razor?
Ma! Meatloaf!
Ma! Razor!
But no, all kidding aside,
boys.
I'm
sorry, Moncton. I'm sorry.
I'll give Adam a nod for two reasons. One, it's clean shaven, although it looks like the rest of his face just can't grow the hair. Like, it's weird that it just kind of sits there. Jeremy's so close. If Jeremy didn't have a beard today and just had that mustache, he would have won this completely if he kept the handlebars. But truth be told, is he almost got the sympathy vote because for all those people who can't see Jeremy right now, he is struggling to sit down.
My butt hurts.
It's a fact. It looks like he hurt a tailbone or something. Anyways, he's been doing this. He does it for you folks. He does it for the fans.
We appreciate you.
But either way, boys, both of you, my hat goes off to you. For work reasons, I couldn't contribute to Movember this year, which is why, although it's terribly greasy if I'd even tried.
That's why. That's what we're hoping, actually.
Can you contribute to Decemberd?
No, if you can't think of, I can't grow a mustache. You think I can grow a beard?
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, it is the holidays.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give her a go.
Decemberd, I like it. I don't think I've ever heard that, to be honest with you.
You're from out west. We won't hold it against you.
That's fair.
You guys don't do normal things out there.
We enjoy Nickelback, though.
I rest my case. overall, I will give my hats off to both of you. It was a great cause for Movember. I think it's great every time people get involved. I like that.
As greasy as it is.
Right. Yeah. Hey, look, it is what it is. It's for a great cause. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think more people should contribute. I know it was really hot for a while. Nothing aggravates me more than people who contribute to Movember but don't create a page and don't grab donations. You do it just because you're a douche. Yeah, well, don't do that. I can't stand that. Anyways, bottom line is congratulations on your – I'd wish I had a trophy or something for you, Adam, but I got nothing.
The win being on the podcast and out there is trophy enough.
P.S. Jeremy's mustache is really cool.
I took the L tonight, but the only thing I can really think of right now. I
took the L tonight.
I want to boo so bad, but the only boo I can actually picture right now is the Olympics when Scott Moir was holding that beard.
Amazing. Amazing. When he was holding both beers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was double fisting her at 10 in the morning.
And P. Chitty was just looking up at it.
Yeah. Because he was probably like 6 in already.
10 in the morning. Because he's Canadian.
Yeah.
That's how we operate. Scott Moir, Tessa Virtue, of course, just skated at the Avenir Center a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
hey, it's what we do. We bring in celebrities.
No big deal. All right, before we hang up the skates, any last thoughts from you two?
So Jeremy and I are looking each other intensely in the eyes here.
It's my favorite part.
I will say this, and that is I'm not even going to focus anymore on what took place last weekend. You know, this Cats team, let's move on. Now, if they get blown out 3-for-3 here.
We have an issue.
We'll come back to that panic button. I'll bring a panic button in and we can press it.
Okay.
But no, not at all, guys. I'm not sweating by this. You go back to basics, figure it out. I do want to thank everybody for the love and support, though. We've been getting a lot of positive feedback, even out in the rinks, out in the streets. People are stopping, saying they love the podcast. For all you people who don't love the podcast or say that we're homers and we don't do this, well, you can suck it. Other than that, I think it's great.
Also, moving on. That's 2 weeks in a row. We've got a Degeneration X mention on a name
everything
drop
comes
on
back
the,
to wrestling. Everything comes back to wrestling.
So we may have a special guest on next week's show. I will confirm as the date gets closer.
Is it somebody from Degeneration X? That'd be unbelievable. It's Triple H.
So we may potentially have the voice of the Cape Breton Screaming Eagles, Patrick McNeil.
Name called him. Now he has to come.
On next week's show.
That'll be
if the Cape Breton Screaming Eagles do stay overnight in Moncton next Wednesday night. So please.
Slash the tires on the bus.
That's a big 2 weeks back to back because we got another guest the week after that. That we'll leave out there.
I will give you a tease, and that is if you follow him on Twitter, you know he is somebody I've spoken to recently.
Yep. We get into a few Twitter wars.
Huzzah. Okay. Sorry, Jeremy.
Anyways, keep going.
The hookah hookah.
The hookah hookah. Hookah hookah.
That it?
That's it.
That's your last thought?
That's my last thought.
Real good.
I have lots of thoughts, but that is my last one.
Real good.
Sorry.
Just jokes, not done.
Just kidding. Not quite done.
Thank you to Domino's Mountain Road for supplying the fuel in my body for tonight's podcast.
We can't thank Domino's on Mountain Road without thanking number one in the field, number one in our hearts, Alex Arsenault, make parking great again. Of course, works at Domino's.
I like it. Any other? You're thinking. So do you got one more? Or?
Nope. Just kissing my mic.
A few days left for you can. You can donate to our Movember page, movember.com, Moncton Wildcast. You can always follow us on the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Oh, you know what I didn't? Our pizza debate that we talked about.
Oh,
the
right.
The pineapple
right.
pizza.
Yeah, no, we got to get this out.
Pineapple does not belong.
My family has taken over that conversation.
No. So Twitter is basically 50-50.
Better have been what?
Crazy people.
Two votes.
Twitter is 30 votes and it's 50-50.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
15 people say that pineapple pizza is acceptable.
Yeah. Because it is.
No, it's not. Yes, it's ridiculous. How is it even an option? Who was the first guy that was like,
because they put lettuce on pizza.
That looks good on a pizza.
Who puts lettuce on a pizza?
Taco pizza.
Same idiots who put pineapple on a pizza, apparently. Yeah, okay, what do the Facebook numbers look like?
The Facebook or the Instagram numbers.
Oh, my goodness. This is garbage. I don't even understand.
The Instagram numbers, 57% said no.
Would you put pineapples on your tacos?
If they were Hawaiian tacos.
So 12 voted no, 9 voted yes. And on Facebook,
12 voted no and 9 voted yes? Well, that's clearly the better. That's the winner. That's the better of the two polls.
On Facebook, it was no.
Of course it's not.
Double T's. Tropical tacos.
But your family also didn't vote. They just had a spat on the page.
It was because they understand. Although apparently I'm the only person in my family who does not think that pineapple belongs on pizza. So in this group, how did you guys vote?
I voted no.
I voted
absolutely. Of course you did, because you're a good-looking dude and you make sense.
I voted yeah.
Well, that would make sense based off that mustache.
Because you're from Alberta.
How do I win? And then based off that mustache. That's easier than based off the mustache. I'm from Alberta.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is pineapple a delicacy in Alberta?
Yeah.
Do they grow on trees?
Pizza?
Oh, man.
If you can put lettuce and other vegetables, you can put tomato on.
Who puts lettuce on a pizza?
I've seen it.
Those are called donairs.
No, there's the fancy pizza places that put lettuce and stuff.
First of all, fancy pizza places aren't real pizza places.
We should literally just do a show one night where we don't talk about hockey. We just ramble on.
I'm pretty sure we could do that right now.
I agree.
Like, I'm fired up. This is foolish. This is what the people want to hear.
That's fair. And it tastes delicious.
Oh, before we go see how we're speaking about food, I got to give another quick nod to Kelsey's. I had the most amazing chicken fingers
there. Look, if you're a restaurant in Moncton and you want to support this podcast.
Look, we're doing this for free. No one's paying us.
Not a dime.
In fact, my chicken fingers weren't that cheap, but they were amazing. So for those who know me, understand, I love chicken fingers. I'm like a connoisseur.
What do you eat?
I usually get that.
You're mocking me. What do you eat?
So this
chicken
is funny.
Fingers?
Told my wife that I was at Kelsey's, and her first response was, how are the chicken fingers? So bottom line is, the chicken fingers I went with today, they hand-bred their own chicken fingers, and they had crunched up Cool Ranch Doritos. It was mind-blowing. Mind blowing.
The funny part about this segment is that earlier in the week, I made a joke about not even recapping last weekend's games. We just become food critics, just and random, here we are just rambling on about food. So, hey, it ended up being...
I apologize for getting off the rails in the hockey on the podcast here, boys.
No, it's fair. And when you talk about chicken tenders, chicken fingers, whatever, if I go to a restaurant, I don't know what to get.
Well, it's the guarantee. You can't screw up chicken fingers. You can't.
You can.
No, you can't.
There's been some that don't
even
quite...
trashy chicken fingers are still an acceptable dish.
Yeah.
Just like a club sandwich. You can't screw up a club, man.
No.
If you don't know, I don't like them.
No.
But anyways.
No, I'm a just ketchup kind of burger guy.
Yeah, me too.
I know.
Anyways, all right, let's move on. Let's close this thing out.
You? Chicken fingers? Yay, nay?
Oh, of course. Look at him. He's got kids. He's got a daughter.
Freaking love chicken fingers.
I rest my case.
Okay, the McDonald's ones.
First of all, those are nuggets, and you watch your mouth.
No, what I'm saying is.
Oh, we were going to fight.
McDonald's did have chicken strips.
That commercial out there with the Raptors about how the perfect dip. What's your perfect dip when you have chicken fingers? Chicken fingers, chicken tenders. Because sometimes they come with dip. So
all depends on where you go. I have a full thing. If we're at McDonald's, sweet and sour all the way. If we're at Burger King, you go one sweet and sour, one barbecue. If you're at now, I'm telling you.
Okay, so when you have the one and one,
you double dip.
Okay,
one and one.
Yep, that's fair.
If you're at a pub, plum sauce. It all depends on where you're at, dog. It all depends. Today, sweet chili. My palate was wide open. It was crazy. It was crazy.
You.
Man, we're like Guy Fieri all of a sudden.
Welcome to Flavortown. Straight up
tenders.
Gangster.
But only tenders.
Let's end this, please.
Well, this was a fun overtime session. Guys, if you want more of this fun, just follow us on the social medias. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, The Moncton Wildcast.
Before you go, you can catch us on the Google Play Store. We have finally made our way to Google. The podcast will be there. Make sure you sign up and listen.
See you next week.